I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, let's switch focus from football to hoops, and I know about 80% of our audience enjoys that. So, Derek Piper, welcome back to the pod as we've gone really football heavy. Joey Wagner and I in our football bunkers now that training camp is about to start. But let's talk some hoops because it's always a good time to talk hoops in Illini country, even on July 29th, Friday, as we are recording this. Derek back from Peach Jam, heading all the way down to Georgia. I'm guessing you made your stop for some hot chicken.
I actually didn't. No, I did stop in Nashville. My brother lives there, goes to Bandy for grad school. Got some barbecue instead, so changed it up a little bit this time. But always good eats in Nashville. I always recommend the hot chicken. We got some barbecue. Went down to Peach Jam like usual, and it's the event of the summer when you see all the coaches that show up. I mean, you just got the top players in the country on the EYBL circuit, and agents are out there. National media is out there. It's a good time and a lot of great fanfare as well. So always one of my favorite, if not my favorite trip, especially of the AAU cycle. But it was a good trip and a long haul, but we're back. And let's talk some hoops.
Can you set the scene, like what it's like to be there? Because even at some place like Riverside Brookfield, which is a place I go, you just see all these bigwig coaches, Juwan Howard sitting over here, Brad Underwood sitting over there, John Gross sitting over here. Like, what is it like at Peach Jam, which is like a national have-to-be-there event?
Yeah, it's really condensed. I mean, it's pretty congested with how many fans show up. You get a lot of people from the local area in Augusta, and then people traveling from Atlanta, and it's their chance, especially down south, or anybody that's in the area, to get a look at the top players in the country. A lot of buzz about, oh, LeBron James is in the house because of Bronny, and so everyone flocking to watch Bronny James, and good luck. I mean, you got to get there really early to get in the gym, or you're up top, so you have some of the main courts. Now, they've added on since, because Peach Jam has become more and more of a big deal, and two new courts that don't have the upstairs, but everything else has like a track upstairs, and I mean, the line there, I've been at games in the past where you're like five deep as far as a row, and you only get to see half of the court. So that can be tough. But Bronny James was a premier focus for a lot of people. But just kind of in general, you just got all the top coaches in the country. I mean, you see Coach Cal, you see apparently now Duke, John Shire, although I wouldn't put him among the top coaches, but you've got all the top programs there. You've got just maybe 50, 60 coaches at a particular game. You've got national media. You got the Jeff Goodmans, the Jeff Borzellos. You got, you know, ESPN, CBS, Matt Norlander, those type of guys there as well. And just it's really cool. And I think also now this is one where you get a lot of the NBA guys who either are sponsoring a team, like a Brad Beal, like a Chris Paul, a Carmelo Anthony, that show up. And now we're starting to see guys who have kids coming up the ranks too, like I said, with LeBron, and even Melo's got a guy playing, I think 15 or 16U, one of his sons. So that's really cool, and it's just the premier event of the summer because it's, you know, they're going for the trophies, and it's a big deal for those AAU programs, and it's high level basketball.
Who's the guy you've stood next to, sat next to at Peach Jam over the years that even you were just like, because you get used to, I don't want to say you get used to it, but you kind of just, it's not as much as maybe the average fan because you're around famous people a lot. But the one guy that you're just in there, I can't believe I'm sitting next to this guy or standing next to this guy.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
I mean, just to see LeBron James in the same building, I would be starstruck because he's just that's a different gravitational force than LeBron James, whether you like him or not.
Yeah, I would agree. LeBron here recently, within the last 2 years with his kid on the circuit, is probably the one that is the highest there. And I'm not a huge LeBron guy, but just to to know that that kind of a star is in the same building. Pretty cool to see Carmelo and to see Brad Beal like coaching up his group is pretty cool as well. So those type of guys. And then, I mean, we're around coaches a lot, so we probably don't get as starstruck by a Tom Izzo or even when Coach K was around, Roy Williams, Bill Self. But it is kind of amazing when you see like a collection of coaches, and when you're able to get intermingled with those guys and listen and be in on some of those conversations, it's just kind of cool that and we take it for granted. I know that we kind of get so mixed in with it and get to be so close to these coaches and follow them along that it kind of becomes normal for us. But still, there are some of those reflection points like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, especially when you see them all together and just how they interact with each other, and that sometimes they don't hate each other, like outside of the competition, or at least they are collegial in the moment. Some guys aren't, though, and that's fun.
Some guys aren't. Well. No, I mean, I haven't seen Brad and Juwan yuck it up, but I think people would be surprised. We've discussed this before. Like, Fran McCaffrey, I know in a lot of people's mind around the Big Ten would probably like him just to be shunned and put – you know, in a corner by himself, and he's just stomping around angry. But really, Fran's a nice dude. He's funny, and he gets along with most guys. I mean, the Brad Underwood, Matt Painter, Fran McCaffrey was a trio you saw a lot throughout the spring and summer, and those guys get along a lot.
All right, Derek, I want to get your top Peach Jam takeaways here in a moment, but let's discuss the Illini non-conference schedule is out. I know more Illini fans are happy. My wife is happy that we got the schedule out, so she knows when I will be gone. I'm sure yours does as well. No big games here that we didn't know. We already knew the premier games on the schedule, but we find out Quincy will be the one exhibition. I would say that leaves open a secret scrimmage, right?
I would think so. I think there'd be good value to that to get challenged early in a game that won't count, and maybe against I'm not saying they're going to go out and try to do Kansas, because that was kind of buzzed about last summer because Illinois had so many – such an older team and returnees. It'd be interesting to see what type of squad that they would try to link up with, but I would say secret scrimmage for sure.
Secret, we use in air quotes there. they open up the season against Eastern Illinois November 7th, a couple games the next week against Kansas City and Monmouth, and then they head out to the Continental Tire main event in Vegas. You and I will be there, UCLA, and then either Baylor or Virginia. Come back home against Lindenwood before the Syracuse ACC Big Ten Challenge. They should have at least one Big Ten game, I would imagine, after that, before the Jimmy V Classic against Texas, potentially, in there. And then maybe one after that. Alabama A&M, December 17th. Missouri, the Bragging Rights game on December 22nd. And then Bethune-Cookman on December 29th. Derek, the cupcakes, as we would call them, extra cupcakey a little bit this year, but given the rest of the non-conference, that's probably not a bad setup, because I think this all evens out into a pretty good non-conference schedule that should allow this team of mostly newcomers, right? Like, this is almost a complete reset of the roster, kind of gives them some time to reset, but also certainly challenges.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense when you're balancing out the challenges and the opportunities for the quad one wins in Vegas, Madison Square Garden. And if Missouri's decent enough, it could be even a bragging rights game where that win could mean something on your resume. But the home games, you don't want to take any bad losses. So in terms of challenging yourself with like a really decent mid-major or anything like that, for a team that needs to gel, for a team that's going to play a different play style, and a team that has a lot of freshmen, it makes – sense to have those very easy bye games to let some learning go on throughout the team and with individual guys and allow them to build some confidence as well. Guys like Sky Clark, Ty Rogers, Jaden Epps, even a Sincere Harris, Luke Goody, those type of guys that would come off the bench. And again, just to be able to have those games where you don't have to be at your peak or somewhere even close to win the game, and then also have some moments where guys can – and when you have, you know, Coleman Hawkins and R.J. Melendez expected to take big jumps, it's good early on to give them opportunities to really dominate and have big games and try to build on that. So, yeah, as far as the six bye games, I know it's EIU, UMKC, Monmouth, Lindenwood, Alabama A&M, and Bethune-Cookman. I ran the Bart Torvik.
I was just looking those up.
And it's out of 363 schools, the average of those six is like 324. So you're talking about bottom of the barrel in Division I and games that are about as easy as it can get. at the D1 level. So I understand it and definitely shouldn't take any losses from that group.
On the other flip side of the coin there, Texas, UCLA, Baylor are all top 10 in the Torvik rankings. Missouri's top 50, Syracuse top 80. So you're certainly going to get tested there. Virginia is number 16. So, I mean, you're going to have three top 16 games at the very least, maybe four there. And, man, this is going to be a loaded schedule. We should get to know how good this team is. So, Derek, what would you qualify as kind of the bar of success for the non-conference with, what, 11 games on the non-conference schedule before a 20-game Big Ten slate that actually sets up pretty favorably, as favorably as a Big Ten schedule can have? So if we're – is it 8-3? Is it 9-2? What do you think?
I think if you look at the games, you have to win. You have to win all those bye games at home. You should win the ACC Big Ten Challenge against Syracuse, who's ranked in the 80s as far as nationally projected. And a team that last year, I mean, Jim Boeheim has been there since 76, and not 1776, but it might as well be 1976. That was the first time last year that he had a losing season. So that was not a good Syracuse team. Lost both of his sons and Buddy and Jimmy Boeheim. And it's a team that brings back two starters, and they have a bunch of freshmen. So it's a young team, and just not one that's expected to be all that good. So playing them on your home floor, you got to win that game. The Missouri game is probably maybe it could be more of a toss-up than people want to admit. And I think Illinois is the more talented team. But you look at Missouri, they had a pretty good offseason with Isaiah Mosley coming in from Missouri State, a high-scoring guard. They got two of the top – I know you look at the JUCO rankings.com rankings, and they got the top two incoming JUCO players in the D1. They got a big man and a guard that should be able to provide an impact for them and be a starter – in the starting lineup, and Kobe Brown is back. So that's kind of a little bit of a toss-up. I think if you're talking successful non-con, you should probably win that game too. And you just don't want to go 0-3 between Vegas and New York. I think that you can't go 0-3 between those two venues and say successful in the non-conference. So I'd say, yeah, if you go 3-2 in high major games, that – is probably the bar, I think, where it starts of saying, oh, yeah, you know, we did about what would be expected and are in decent shape. Anything above that, like if you were to beat UCLA and maybe Texas and lose to, say, Baylor, I that would be – you'd put yourself in great shape as far as what your resume would be and for a team that would only expect it to get better going forward. But those three, as we're talking about, Vegas and New York, are going to be very, very tough. UCLA is a top 10 team. Jaime Jaquez back, Tiger Campbell back. Amari Bailey comes in as a five-star. They got a five-star big man as well. And if you lose that game and everyone would expect you play Virginia, while Virginia wasn't very good last year, they do bring back all five starters. Kia Clark's a good guard. Armon Franklin a down year, but we know what he's capable of. So that could be a tough game. And that would just be a very experienced and kind of cliche, a team that doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. So that would be interesting in Texas. Has a talented backcourt with Marcus Carr and Tyrese Hunter, the transfer from Iowa State, is considered one of the best transfers in the country, and that's going to battle against your young freshman guard. So, yeah, I think that 3-2 in high majors, maybe only taking two losses in the non-con, is probably where he's setting it. But, yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it says a lot about how much, and I always come back to this, Derek, it feels like, just because we covered some bad basketball. I think it says a lot about Illinois that, like, against that schedule, 9-2 is the mark of success. And I don't disagree with you, but if they went 9-2, I think they're winning the Big Ten, right? Like, that's how I feel if they're coming out of it. I think 8-3 is probably what is going to be expected on the KenPom or the Torvik rankings, because I think they'll be underdogs against UCLA, Baylor, maybe Virginia. That's maybe more of a toss-up. But let's be honest. You're always going to drop one game, right? You're going to drop one of those games. Maybe you win one of them you don't think you're going to win at the beginning. But if they go 9-2, I'd be so high on this team, because I think the non-conference is going to be a game you sit there and go, what the heck was that? Because this is a completely new roster for the most part, trying to gel. I think there's going to be some ups and downs of that, but they're really, really talented. So I could see them beating UCLA and all of a sudden getting all this buzz and then maybe losing to Missouri. right? Like I could see that, or Syracuse or something, because the zone spooks them. Like I could see that happening. So if they get to 8-3 out of the non-conference, I'd be like, yeah, they'll be fine, because I expect some ups and downs, as long as you don't lose those bye games. If they're 7-5 or 7-4, you got some big questions. That's disappointing for what this Illinois team is. But if they're 9-2 or better, Derek, with their Big Ten schedule, like that's something we got to think of when we're putting together our Big Ten projections this year of who's going to win the Big Ten. Is Illinois' schedule is so favorable with their 1-2 plays that I'd feel pretty dang bullish if they're 9-2 or better.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's going to take some time to gel. I think there will be a game that's pretty disappointing, whether it's a matchup like a UCLA or a Texas where you expect to compete and you get blown out, or if it's a toss-up game like a Missouri or Virginia that you lose, and that's kind of disappointing. Hopefully you wouldn't lose to Syracuse on your home floor, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility. And I don't foresee any of the bye games being issues. But, yeah, I mean, we saw that Michigan didn't come out of the non-con all that great and lost the game on the road at UCF. That was disappointing for them. And really in Brad Underwood's tenure, last year losing to Cincinnati, losing to Marquette, and that was a team that was a lot more cohesive and proven. And even the year before that, when they were a one seed, losing at Missouri was one that made you kind of scratch your head and was disappointing. And so that they've taken their lumps even when they've been more of a known commodity as a team. So I think it could take some time. And I think the early Big Ten, the two early games in the Big Ten can kind of balance out, whether it be some disappointment in the non-con, but you win, you do well in the Big Ten, or if you drop, say, those three marquee games between Vegas and NYC, but you start 2-0 in the Big Ten play, that can kind of boost you and make up for that as well. So,
yeah, you mentioned that, like the Big Ten games that are involved there. So they'll have two Big Ten games in the middle of that non-conference. Like if they're 10-3 out of that, I think you'd feel pretty dang good about where Illinois basketball is. All right, Derek, back to Peach Jam. You've been following Mean Streets. You're basically the Mean Streets reporter here recently, and the Imani beat, Imani Hansberry beat here. Are those the teams, guys you've been focused on the most? And if so, what was your takeaways?
Yeah, those are really the main ones on the UIBL circuit. And for a team that is probably not going to have a very big class in 2023, and there's certainly a lot of potential in 24 that's circled around Mean Streets, the St. Rita trio, and Noyes and James Brown and Merez, who obviously already had him on board, and then Carlos Harris at Curie, who's played really well. So for Imani, it's just been kind of the same old story. He went on a tear from the point of when I saw him in late May in Louisville, and then from that point, I know he had a great June back on the East Coast, and then saw him in Kansas City early July, and then at Peach Jam. And this is just a guy that continues to be supremely productive. He was named first team All Peach Jam, which is saying a lot considering the type of talent that is down there at that type of an event. And he has outproduced guys that are ranked higher than him. I mean, and we're not even just talking about as a guy that's sitting there in that 125 to 130 range. I'm just talking about, oh, he played someone that was top 75, and he put up, you know, more points, more rebounds. He had games where he was on the floor with five-star guys. Like there was a game against Mocan where he's against John Bull, who's one of the top centers in 2024, and Omaha Ballou, who just committed to Iowa State, who's a five-star power forward. And even his own front court, Kwame Evans Jr. is a top 10 player in the country in 2023. And Imani had the best game of those four together when you had that collection of talent on the floor. So he's just continued to excel, continued to produce, continued to be consistent. I think he had 6 double-doubles in 7 games down at Peach Jam, which is just – it shows his motor, it shows his consistency, the way he hits the glass, and he hit jumpers. Like, that was something that just continued to show up throughout July, is hitting mid-range jumpers, even knocking down a couple of threes, which is something he wasn't doing at regularity in the spring. So continue to be more and more impressed with him. We'll see. He's gotten some recent offers. He got Auburn earlier in July. Oregon and West Virginia offered, I think, early on in Peach Jam, if not right before. And he's going to be at Miami this upcoming weekend for an official visit, and we'll see where it goes from there. But Illinois was 3 deep at like all of his games at Peach Jam, and has made a very clear point that he is the top priority for them in 2023. So That's been impressive, and he's earned that.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Derek, you've written about this in the recent weeks, and we can see it. We've always been wondering, like, what's Illinois' plan in 2023? Because they haven't been as aggressive in that class. How narrow of a focus is it in the class of 2023? We've talked about nationally, maybe not a great class. Certainly in state, not as strong of a class. A lot of high major prospects, but maybe towards the lower end of high majors. Is it Imani Hansberry or bust in 2023?
I don't want to go all in and say absolutely yes, because we've seen this staff show us in the past that they have more and more options as you know, dominoes fall. Like, we could have said in 2023, you know, a year ago, that it's Jeremy Fears and Kylan Boswell are busts. Well, right. Then they pull Sky Clark, in, you know, late in 2022, and it's a little bit, it changes things. So, yes, on the surface, in terms of getting a priority guy, I think Imani, as far as the guys they tracked on the AAU circuit throughout the spring and summer, is the only surefire priority, we're going all in to get him type of guy. So, I think that it is Imani or bust in that type of a sense. There are maybe some other players out that they would pivot to, but I'd even be a little skeptical knowing Brad and knowing the opportunities in the portal. And when you come off getting Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon Jr. and the year before that, you got Alfonso Plummer. Why not? They're not going to reach. They're not going to take a guy that's going to be someone that's like, I'm not sure. Maybe that's a little bit of a reach. Maybe he's not going to give us what they want. They certainly won't do that. Now, we'll talk about some international players that have come into the fold and some guys that Jeff Alexander and Brad Underwood saw at the NBA Academy games down in Atlanta early in July. And that's becoming more of a focal point, international recruiting. There are some names that they could that they certainly like in 23. But as far as you're looking at, you know, in the U.S. and those familiar names in the AAU circuit, I mean, even Jazz Gardner, who we thought would be a priority guy and someone that Chester Frazier got in early on, and he's a top 100 big man, maybe in top 75. I don't think they watched him at all the last live period in July. I think that says a lot about how much they like Hansberry, but also they're being pretty picky and selective about who they're going after, and Hansberry is the only surefire priority right now.
Yeah, and I think we got to remember, by adding Sky Clark, by adding, you know, Zachary Perrin, they have a couple pieces that maybe they would have tried to get in the class of 2023, especially the French forward, right? Like, he kind of fills a role, a developmental role in the front court that, you know, maybe they would have had to reach for a guy in 2023 that they don't have to. But, you know, Brad still says he believes in being a developmental program, Derek, but part of that is now transfers, right? And he's talked about, you know, how many guys do I want to spend on high school when I can just go in the portal, get some guys who are going to give you immediate gratification and, you know, obviously more proven at that level, more proven commodity. So how much of recruiting do you think for Illinois moving forward is going to be transfers? Is it 50%? Is it 30%? What do you think?
I think it will be a balance. I think you could see it be 50-50 or I know I was listening to all those media day pressers at Indianapolis that you and Joey were at, and Mel Tucker was asked kind of the balance of portal versus high school recruiting. He's like, you look at the high school recruiting as the draft and the portal as free agency. So I still think there is going to be a significant focus on trying to get some long-term players via high school and even international, just prep type of players, those four-year guys or whatever they might be. I mean, there's a lot of value in getting certain guys that are in that top 100, top 50 range. I mean, they want to continue the cycle of get a guy like Ayo Dosunmu, get a guy like Kofi Coburn, have him in your program for 3 years, watch the development and the progress. Or you look at the freshmen that are coming in this year, and Sky and Ty Rogers and Jaden Epps and even Sincere Harris is on that back end of the top 100. They really like what those guys will be early, as particularly some of those guys in that top 50 range, and then how they will develop. But with the portal and how much opportunity there is, you can get very good, very proven players from college basketball who have even played in high major conferences, and supplement that with what you already have to fill needs and to be able, especially in this case of this year, to have leadership, to have proven commodities. So I think that it's really going to just be something they continue to evaluate what they need. And then you're taking away the old kind of ways of, well, we missed on our type, you know, our priority A guys. Now we got a B list or maybe even a C list of guys that, you know, we're not as high on, but we like. And I don't think you pluck from that as much now that the portal is going to be involved as much as it is. So maybe it's 50-50. Maybe that's even too heavy on the portal. It just kind of depends on each class. Because I think in you look at 24, while 23 will be pretty light on the high school front, 24, I could see them getting maybe the same St. Rita trio if they can pull off James Brown against the offers he has. And that would be a bigger class. And then maybe it's only one transfer that year. So it might depend on the year, but certainly the portal is having a big impact and they know that there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, speaking of 2024, Derek, obviously Merez Johnson is locked in. ZZ Clark now going to Overtime Elite. If you want to weigh in on that, you can. But what'd you see from the prospects Illinois is targeting in 2024?
Yeah, Merez, I know early in the week for Peach Jam, had some games where he played about as well as I've seen him play, and a lot of people have seen him play, with him showing some mid-range jumpers, which is a big part of his development to show. Like, if you can just look at the way that Merez and James play together, it's usually kind of that high-low dynamic where Merez, when he's playing the four and is out free throw line extended, if he's making a jump shot, and I know that's a big focus going forward, that just makes him and whoever's playing the five, you know, all that more hard to guard, because he's very athletic. He continues to hit the glass fantastically. He was really ferocious in some finishes that were high level, and he blocked shots too. And to see some of those flashes jump shot-wise was encouraging. But James continues. I mean, James had a fantastic AAU season. Has blown up immensely, getting the Duke offer at Peach Jam. Prior to that, it was UNC, Michigan, Indiana. It's going to be a national – it is now a national recruitment that's going to drag out. And, I mean, why wouldn't it? Why wouldn't he, you know, thoroughly evaluate all his options and take a bunch of visits and see what that looks like? But I know that he's impressed a lot of people with his – I mean, he's already been a fantastic interior scorer. He's now showing more off the dribble, and he's I love his defense. I love how hard he plays. I love how he moves and blocks shots. So he continues to be impressive. And Noyes was up and down in July. You know, there was a game at Kansas City. I saw him go for 35 points and make six threes. It's like, wow, this is – a high-level scorer, a guy that can shoot the ball as well as anybody in this class, but there have been some down moments throughout. You know, great spring. June was a little bit lackluster, especially when he didn't have Merez and James, who were at the USA basketball camp. And then July was up and down and a really ugly last game at Peach Jam, but not to read a ton into that. I just think there's some things for him to work on. He needs to get stronger. He needs to handle contact better. And he needs to get better defensively and just kind of be more consistent overall. But and then Carlos Harris is someone that needs to be not forgotten as far as that Mean Streets group. And I know that Illinois has ZZ Clark on board in 2024, but Harris is a guy that they really like. He needs to shoot the ball a little bit better from the perimeter, but he is a pit bull. Just so tough, so strong, finishes through contact, runs the team really well. And then defends as a really tenacious on-ball defender. I know that we've brought it up before, but some shades of Andres Feliz, and I know that that puts you on all on board for a guy.
I haven't seen him play, but if you use an Andres Feliz comp, I'm sold. I'm sold, absolutely.
He's not as thick as Feliz, but he's strong for his size. Yeah. So he's got some parallels. And, yeah, ZZ Clark joining overtime. ZZ's got some things to prove. I mean, that's not to say that I'm speaking for the staff and saying, yeah, oh, well, his commitment is on, you know, unstable ground or anything. But I just think when you see what happened in the spring with not playing as well as you would have hoped and then leaves his AAU team, which was the Skill Factory on UIBL, mid-session at Indianapolis, and he doesn't catch on with another AAU team. It's just kind of a situation where now he needs to show that he is a Big Ten caliber player, that he is a high major recruit, and that he can pivot from some of these struggles and continue to progress and show the talent that you would hope when you commit to a program like that. So Overtime Elite is getting a lot of talented guys. I mean, he's going to be in the same backcourt as Jeremy Fears and probably playing behind him, but there's going to be a great opportunity to have a stage and to play against good competition.
We've spent so much time covering Illinois basketball about in-state recruiting, whether it's football or basketball especially. Illinois is going to have two in-state natives on the roster next year, Terrence Shannon, who's a transfer, and Brandon Lieb, right? And long-term, I don't know who's going to be there, but it doesn't matter. Nobody cares about that stuff. You know, as long as you are recruiting the really good ones, they got Merez Johnson coming in, right? Ty Rogers, I know, played in Chicago's last year, but he's a Michigan guy, which makes it so impressive you beat Tom Izzo for him. But that's what's made this staff so good, Derek, is they have reach everywhere, and they are reaching further into the international, right? And that's been very good for them, whether, you know, Andres Feliz, Kofi Coburn are from there. I know they were in the States when they were recruiting them, but, you know, Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk, like, they have gone overseas and gotten some talent here outside of the U.S., right? Alfonso Plummer, a guy from Puerto Rico. Now they're getting more into Europe. They get Zachary Perrine. And it feels like, and it looks like, they are starting to up their recruiting more. So tell me why they're doing that and what that could mean for the program.
In terms of why, there's just a lot of really good players that are international and overseas. And there are two different categories of guys that come over from, you know, international routes and play high school basketball, like a Kofi Coburn from Jamaica, or, you know, we've seen Andres Feliz come over and was playing high school basketball in Florida and ultimately played JUCO. And then there's the guys that don't come over, and that's a little bit more as far as mining for talent. Not to say that they're all, you know, top secret type of guys. Like, you got to really figure that out, because there's FIBA, and there are ways to find out who are really good players over there.
Yeah, like Victor Wembanyama is not some secret, right?
Yeah, he is not. No, so Benjamin Bossman's Verdonk was one that I personally didn't know much about him. I don't know who else was really – there weren't a ton of other options for him. Zachary Perrine was, you know, UCLA knew about him, was pushing for him, and Texas came in late on him and was pushing for him. So that was a big win, and I know that those around the program feel that not only is that an exciting victory in recruiting for the program because of what Perrine can be – upside-wise with his skill set and his length and what he can develop into, but that kind of paved a pathway of establishing new connections and some influential people that they've gotten to know and have built relationships with that can pay dividends down the road with some other guys internationally. So Jeff Alexander has really taken up that mantle of – he's someone that came in 2017 from Evansville and had recruited internationally – in the past, but now is really diving in deeper to further those inroads that he has. He was out there at the FIBA World Cup in Spain earlier in July. He's currently in Istanbul at the European Championships under 18, going to see Zachary Perrine, going to see a guy we'll talk about, Nicolo Moretti, who's an Italian point guard that they saw at the NBA Academy. So the bottom line is, and I know that we've talked about this a little bit in the past, is Gonzaga has done a phenomenal job of bringing in international talent. Arizona's done it, especially within the last 5 years or so, and we'll continue to do that with Tommy Lloyd. Michigan with the Wagners, even going to Canada, which I know we don't maybe consider as much of a reach anymore because Those guys are more integrated into the EYBL and those type of things. But with Stauskas and everything, it's been very good to some other programs. And I think that Illinois recognizes that it can be great for them. And they've got some good feedback, not only where the program's going, how Underwood and his staff are viewed as coaches. And, I mean, the university is super diverse. It's a high academic institution. There's just a lot of boxes that they check. And they definitely want to be more prominent in that market.
And the other thing is, Derek, the basketball is good over there, right? Like, this is no longer like, hey, you're taking huge risks on a lot of these guys because there's good basketball coaches, there's good basketball players. We just had the top three MVP candidates were all international players, right? And I think it's, you know, growing percentage of guys are in the NBA and in college basketball are over there. So I think you probably wouldn't be a big time program if you're not looking over there and investing some resources. So I think it's really cool that Illinois and Smart that they are sending Jeff Alexander over there to scout a lot of these tournaments. I think one of the things, like ESPN, Mike Schmitz, what made him so good? He went over there all the time and made connections with people and found some of that talent. And now he's in an NBA, you know, front office. And, you know, Tommy Lloyd has made a career out of going overseas and building Gonzaga up with Mark Few, of finding those international guys, and now he's doing it at Arizona. So I think it's really, really smart for them to do that. And, you know, Jeff, I think, could be pretty good at that. And, you know, I know people are sitting there going like, well, what's he doing? Well, Zachary Perrine was a pretty big win for Illinois. If they get a couple of those every couple of years, that'd be big for Illinois. So, Derek, any other recruiting things that we should be paying attention to before I let you go?
Yeah, I might as well tell you a little bit more about Nicolo Moretti. Is the point guard from Italy who is really gifted off the dribble, great passer. I know that the Atlanta staff, they offered him after seeing him at the NBA Academy in Atlanta, and they see some similarities between him and Andre Curbelo with those type of skills. But he's someone that shoots the three a lot better, is more progressive with his jump shot. He was hitting some really deep threes. And as a lefty who's got the stroke and has some skill off the bounce, it's easy to say, oh, Goran Dragic, which I'll be honest, like, that's kind of what you see when you look at his highlights.
Underwood loves the lefties, doesn't he? Like, there's a lot of lefties on this team.
Yeah. Someone's got to replace Trent and Plummer. And so I think that's something. And as they evaluate their, you know, you get a chance in the summer, and we'll find out more as we get into the fall and playing games as far as your current roster. But you know, this guy Clark is a point guard. He is a little bit wired score first, but he's a very talented handler and can get to places and facilitate. That's still something that needs to grow. But Jaden Epps is definitely a bucket getter. But I think that, is he a point guard? Is he a guy that's going to make others around him better? I'm not saying that he won't develop into that. I'm not saying that I've seen some of that out of him in AAU and high school, but I know that as they've evaluated him this summer, they want to see him push forward with that. So another playmaking point guard in the mix is something that's become kind of a priority, or something that they certainly have recognized as something that they need. So someone like Nicolo Moretti, who's the brother of David Moretti. I think they call him David. It's David with an E at the end. So I'm going to say David Moretti at Texas Tech, 2019 runner-up, was a starter for them and did some really good things. So that's one that they're looking at. Alex Tui is from Australia, 6'7" forward, was the top scorer at the NBA Academies. Another one that they've gotten involved with. I know that after he performed at NBA Academy, Duke, Michigan, Gonzaga all showed interest. So just kind of tapping into those connections and opening up the reach of the program to international is something that they're very interested in continuing to do. And I know that we'll get into what's traditional official visit season. I don't know how many there's going to be this coming fall. Is Imani Hansberry going to want to take more official visits to places he's already been? I think Illinois would be willing to host him again because of there's just not as many targets to worry about running out of visits, and they want him bad enough to probably bring him in again. You'll definitely have the in-state guys, the St. Rita guys, and Harris down for unofficials for football weekends and everything, but yeah, I think that now that the last summer live period, at least in terms of in the States, is done, it's a very, as we talked about, narrow focus in 23, a lot of potential in 24, and and some decisions to make as far as, you know, how dominoes fall with Hansberry on where to go. You know, you're going to pivot with someone in the class, or you're going to be patient and wait, see if anything comes up, like reclass wise, but also with the portal and still have a spot remaining for mid-year, and also knowing after the season you can bring in some impact guys as well.
Derek Piper is all over it, traveling the country this summer, checking out all the Illini targets. So tell Haley, tell Cade, we're going to keep you home for a while, so they can have Papa Piper around. Have you got the little Tykes basketball hoop yet? You got Cade performing jumpers on that yet?
You know, we haven't got that yet. I would probably be using it more than him at this point, which I'm all for. He hasn't gotten to the point of holding the ball yet. I haven't really pushed that too much.
What's he, 3 months? Come on, Cade.
Yeah, he just turned 3 months yesterday. But a big guy, I like the way the hands are growing. Should be able to palm the little Nerf ball soon enough. But now he's doing great. But I got to make sure not to leave, because if you notice it all, if you pay attention, my office got rearranged without my knowing. I showed up, you know, being gone for 4 or 5 days at Peach Jam, and you come back, your desk is moved, and a little bit different setup. So
just threw her under the bus, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. She's not going to listen to this podcast, so we're good.
Are those cards in the background?
Yeah.
What do you got over there? I got my, for those on the YouTube, I got mine over here. That's the IO card I pulled.
Oh, I love that card.
I'm so pumped about that.
All right, these are a little bit different. Got an Ozzie Smith Wizard of Oz card. Yeah.
Let's see what else I got. I'm going to stand up, and I'll show you some other ones I got. I got the
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, nice. I got the Darren Williams rookie right there.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Frank Thomas rookie, Brian Urlacher. I got an Eddie Curry card over there.
Hey.
Eddie Curry. I was so pumped the Bulls got him. And I was really upset when they traded Elton Brand.
This guy needs to stay healthy. This isn't his worth. This is Jack Flaherty. Yeah,
he's kind of a polarizing figure there with the Cardinals fan base.
I know my everyday co-host Monte cannot wait till he's out of a Cardinals uniform, which it's hard to argue, honestly.
Yeah, injuries suck, but yeah.
We're just waiting for Juan Soto. I'll have to get a Juan Soto card if he shows up.
Yeah, that'd be very Cardinals. Goldie doing what he's doing, Arenado doing what he's doing. Man, it must be nice to have that kind of developmental and draft. Like, it's just unbelievable, Derek, what they're able to do. Like, I'm jealous. I'm just jealous of your organization, that you're able to be in the running for those kind of guys all the time. Don't land them all the time, of course, but you're in the running. So good for you.
Appreciate that. And I've been frustrated with the lack of playoff success here recently, and feeling like you're kind of in that upper tier of mediocre.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you do draft well and develop well, you put yourself in positions to make some of these type of moves. And I mean, it is kind of that angst of whether it would ultimately burn you, especially when you talk about Cardinals and not committing to those long-term type of, you know, 10-year, $400 million type of contracts. And Soto's probably going to earn even more than that. It'd be dumb, in my opinion, to trade for him and not be all the way in on trying to re-sign him.
Right.
But
I mean, you do get him for 2.5 years, though. And then you could just flip him in your last year if you don't sign him and get a bunch of prospects back anyway. But I love seeing, like, the random Cardinals fans saying he's too flashy for them. Come on, man.
That's the worst.
This guy's like Ted Williams. He's ridiculous with a bat in his hand. Derek Piper, thank you as always. Say hello to Haley and Cade for us. And always appreciate the time, man.
I will do, and great talking as always, and do it again soon.
That's Derek Piper. Thank you to everyone for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. You can follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us, review us. We appreciate that, and check us out on YouTube as well. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.